study some of these things. And it's a wonderful thing to study the Bible, because studying the Bible, you get out so much. And that's why we're to be students of the Word of God. And I encourage you to study these things. And if you need help in those areas, please let us know. Revelation chapter 9, looking at verse 13 this evening. Revelation chapter 9, verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded and heard a voice from the fourth horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. The four angels were loosed, which prepare for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. In number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. Thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, jacketed brimstone. Heads of horses were the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. But these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their powers in their mouth and their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads with them, they do hurt. The rest of them, men, which were not killed by the plagues, were repented not of the works of their hands, and they should not worship devils and idols of gold, silver, and brass, and stone, and wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor of their thefts. Lord, we thank you for tonight once again, and I pray you would give us ears to hear. Holy Spirit of God, fall fresh on us tonight, we ask. We pray, God, that you would meet the need of every person in this room. We know that your word, through your spirit, has the capability, has the capacity to do something supernatural. Though the message might be on a different, on one subject, it can speak to a heart in need that is in each individual here tonight. So I pray you do your work as you always do. Thank you that your word will not return void. It will accomplish its work tonight. We thank you for that. Bless, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight we're looking at Satan's strategic battle for earth. Satan's strategic battle for earth. We looked at several trumpet judgments. We're in the time of judgments. And we looked at several judgments last week. First, we looked at the first trumpet was the agriculture judgment. In the last chapter, a third part of the trees was burned up, and all the trees of grass was burned up. The second trump was an oceanic judgment. A third part of the creatures which were in the sea had life and died, and third part of the ships were destroyed. Thirdly, a third trump, the aquatic judgment. Remember that great star, the star Wormwood, fell. Verses 10 and 11, chapter 8. Third part of the waters became wormwood, and many died in the waters because they were made bitter. The fourth trumpet was astronomical judgment. Third part of the sea was smitten, and third part of the moon and part of the stars, and the third part of them was darkened, and part of the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And then the fifth trumpet, as we looked at last week, was the pit unlocked. And we talked about monsters. We talked about not Sasquatch or the abominable snowman that we see on TV, not Godzilla or King Kong. We looked at real live monsters that are going to, what we believe are not such monsters, but are demons or angels. The creatures that once were in heaven, angelic beings that God actually created, but because of Lucifer, who became Satan when he chose to disobey God, he wanted to be God. He wanted his throne above God. If you read the book of Isaiah, Ezekiel, it talks about that. We mentioned that last week. Him and a third part of the angels were cast out into the earth. And those angels are now what we call evil spirits, demons. They're real. They exist. So, preacher, you think demons exist just like God exists, just like Jesus exists, just like heaven exists, just like hell exists. All these things real. If demons do not exist, folks, then we believe a fairy tale. Let's go over to Sunday's and get some barbecue. Let's all shut this thing down and go get something to eat. Because if demons don't exist, then nothing else exists. the Bible is true from cover to cover. And I say cover because it says Holy Bible. We believe in a literal, natural interpretation of the Bible. What does the Bible say? Not what we think that the Bible says. And if we say something we think, we ought to say, we think it means this. And I try to do that when I'm not sure. Because some of these things in Revelation, good and godly men who've been in the ministry many more years than I do disagree about what some of these things mean. And so when I come to passages and things like that, I'll try to share that with you. But when it comes to demons, and angels, these things actually agree. And of course, the Bible says in chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, to them was given they should not kill, they should be tormented 5 months. The torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And we looked at all those things, and we looked last week at the timeline. The timeline. Remember, the next event that we believe in our history, according to the Bible, is the rapture of the church. We believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. That means he could come back anytime. And so many, many people, I've noticed recently that many people are discounting the rapture. And that's exactly what the Bible says. Many people, as we get into these days, which are getting darker and darker, and if you have any spiritual sensitivity at all, you know we're getting darker and darker. The world would say to you, we're getting better and better. Well, in some areas, maybe, like technology, it's nice for me able to work on something at home on a computer, put it on an iPad and be able to present it to you, or be able to hit a button back there and present that to you. That's nice. That's technology. This is wonderful when it works. When it works, it's horror when it doesn't, because you usually don't have a plan B, and then you're like, you're basically doing a little tap dance up here. Brother Pete knows all about that. Anybody who does this very long, you know what that's like. But morally, we're slouching towards Gomorrah. We're becoming more and more like Sodom and Gomorrah. Saw a picture of a comic book the other day. Superman, or the son of Superman, was kissing another boy. Superman, which was created back in the times of the Depression to give Americans hope. Now you got a form of Superman who's on the front cover. They're going to show that in a couple of weeks or a couple of months. He's kissing another guy. What have we come to? We're not getting any better morally. We're getting closer and closer to judgment. This world is getting closer and closer to judgment. But dear friends, the darker the night, the brighter the light. That's why we have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we know there's a rapture. There's 3.5 years that are relative peace. We've talked about the Antichrist, the things that are going to happen. We talked about the fact that there's going to be in the middle of that tribulation. We're going to talk more about the Antichrist and what he's going to do, and his role in all these things. We looked at these different judgments. We've come to these trumpet judgments, and they are after this 3.5 years of tribulation. We're going to talk more in detail about all these things. The sun is darkened, the moon is turned into blood, and now we have these trumpet judgments. What does the Bible say? Where it says in verse 13 through 15, the sixth angel sounded. You see this sixth trumpet, the satanic horde released. Not only do we have these demonic locusts who have the head of a human, hair of a woman, teeth like lions, now we have this satanic horde. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the altar, which is before God, one saying to the sixth angel who had trumpet, release the four angels who are bound the great river Euphrates, and the four angels who had prepared for the hour and day, the month and the year was released, so they would kill a third of mankind. So we see a release of these demons. What is this herd? Well, John hears a voice. Greek text literally reads one voice, stressing that John heard a single voice, a solitary voice. The voice is not identified. Is it possible? Is the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ? He is pictured earlier standing near the throne. He took the 7 sealed scrolls from the Father's hand. If you remember in chapter 5, verse 7, he broke the seals, thus unleashing the series of judgment, which the sixth trumpet is a part. voice came its location. It came from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Remember, John already seen this altar. We talked about that earlier, heavenly counterpart of the Old Testament altar of incense. Twice before in his visions in the tabernacle and temple, this altar was a place where incense was burned, symbolizing people's prayer for the rising mercy of God. So we see this release of this horde. Now, we talked about this altar, Exodus chapter 30, verse 7. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning, and dress the lamb, he shall burn incense upon it. And Aaron light the lamps at even, and shall burn incense upon it. It's a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout the generations. You shall offer no strange incense thereof, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall you pour drink offering thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. I have a note here that I studied. It is noted in the discussion of here in chapters 8, verses 4 through 5, in chapter 18 of this volume, the incense altar was located in front of the veil that separated the Holy of Holies. Remember the tabernacle, the temple in the Old Testament? The different furniture throughout that. You may have studied that in the past. Hopefully you have. We'll probably go through it again sometime. Where the presence of God dwelt from the holy place, no one but the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, and he only on the Day of Atonement. And of course, we know that he had a special garb that if he went in there with sin, and he wasn't right with God, they didn't hear that noise anymore, and it got quiet. And so they had a special instrument to drag him out. if he was at the wrong time or did things the wrong way, because holiness is a serious thing. What sacrifices were not normally offered on the incense altar, the high priest was required to offer sin offering once a year. That illustrates the importance of biblical truth that atonement provides the basis for prayer, worship, communion with God. No one whose sins have not been atoned for has access to God. And that's the picture of this. We only are able to pray to God because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross and his blood was shed. Now, people pray to God oftentimes, but I believe the only time a prayer is heard is a prayer of repentance, a prayer of repentance. And when a person genuinely prays and asks God to forgive them of their sin, God hears that prayer and then imputes unto them, places upon them, not their own righteousness, but Christ's righteousness on them, so they're no longer walking in their own righteousness, but they're clothed by the righteousness of Christ. That's the moment of salvation, the very second that you recognize that you're a sinner. When you see yourself walking the wrong way, you see yourself as a sinner, you turn around the opposite way, and you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. That's repentance. Change of mind, change of life. That only happens, folks, once in life. It's not something you have to do every day. Now, if you've talked to your Catholic folks, if you'll knock on doors in this community, and you say, do you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? Have you ever been born again? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to save you? They'll say to you, I do it all the time. They don't understand it. They don't grasp it. But the natural man cannot understand these things. They are foolishness to them. That's why you talk to your coworkers at work about these things and they look at you like you have three heads on your shoulders. They look at you like you're crazy. But it's the truth of the scriptures. They cannot understand it. They can't discern it. So we see this crazy horde, this release of demons. What is this horde? Where the four angels are bound indicates they are demons, since holy angels are nowhere in scripture said to be bound. The perfect tense of the participle translates bound, implies that the four demons were bound in the past with continuing results. The use of the definite article suggests the four angels from a specific group. The precise identity is not revealed. They may be demons that were controlled of the four major world empires of Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And those are the four kingdoms, if you'll remember, we'll talk about this again in the future, which Daniel saw. If you remember reading Daniel, he saw these four kingdoms coming in the future. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and eventually Rome, of course. So those demons have great power. We see in Daniel chapter 10, verse 3, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, or he's an angel, of course, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So we see this horde. And where are they? They're at the Euphrates River. The Euphrates River is mentioned several times in Scripture, but it's, if you remember, it's mentioned at the very beginning of the Bible. Where's the horde? The side of the four angels, the great river Euphrates, rising from sources near Mount Ararat in Turkey. And again, Mount Ararat is where many people believe possibly the ark would be. The other has different significance. The Euphrates flows more than 1,700 miles before entering the Persian Gulf. It is the longest and most important river in the Middle East. It figures prominently in the Old Testament. One of the four rivers in which the river that flowed out of the Garden of Eden divided. Euphrates was an eastern boundary of the Promised Land. Israel's influence extended to the Euphrates during the reigns of David and Solomon. It is the river over which the enemies of God will cross to engage in the Battle of Armageddon, which we'll talk about again in the future. So we see now the return of death. Remember, during the time of these demonic locusts that people were stung by, these scorpion-like creatures, demonic creatures, they could not die. They were tormented for 5 months. But these creatures, these demons, they could destroy, they could kill. It says the four angels were loose and were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. I heard a number of them, and thus I saw the horse in the visions, and them that sat on them, and having breastplates of fire and jackknife and brimstone. The heads of the horses were the heads of lions. Out of the mouth issued smoke and brimstone. And these three are part of the men killed by fire, by smoke and brimstone, which were issued out of their mouths. For their powers of their mouth and their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. What turn of death? What is this? The preparation of this. At the precise moment, at a predetermined year, in the predetermined year, the month, the very day, the exact hour called by God's sovereign plan, he will release these four high-ranking demons so that he can use them in his ongoing judgment of the world. Everything happens according to God's sovereign plan. This is not by accident. This is not by chance. These things are not happening, you know, just not happenstance. These things, these judgments are already predetermined. They're going to happen. And nothing that mankind can do right now can change it. Nothing. If everyone in the United States got saved today, which is not going to happen today, but if everyone did, this still would happen. If billions of people got saved, this still would happen. This is still going to happen. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. So these things are coming to pass. We see the return of death, not only preparation, their power. 200 million demon army. And what an army. It says up here, 200,000. That's a large army. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of beasts. The riders had breastplates the color of fire, and jackknife of the brimstone. The color of fire is red. This of jackknife, dark blue and black like smoke. That of brimstone, a sulfurous yellow rock, which was ignited, produces a burning flame and suffocating gas. Horses are frequently, of course, associated with warfare in Scripture. John noted the heads of the horses were like heads of lions. These lions were demon forces, fiercely, relentlessly determined to stalk and slaughter their victims. The tails of the creatures have the ability to bite like serpent. These are, again, creatures that are past our imagination, have been pent up for thousands of years, maybe even longer than that, thinking about the hurt they will sometime do. To our population. Remember that this time, thinking about their power, 25% of the world's population had already died during the first four seals. Millions more martyred for their newfound faith in Christ. Still more died from drinking the embittered water of the previous trumpet judgment. And now 1/3 of those remaining alive are killed by demons in the fire brain of the animals upon which they ride. We see the plagues that they bring. Now, throughout the scriptures, The word plagues, we see it. Many times we see these judgments of plagues in chapter 11, verse 6, chapter 15, verse 1, 6, 8, 16, 9, 21, 8, 4, 8, 21, 9, 22, 18. We find the word plagues throughout this. So it's going to be time of not only where you see these demonic creatures, we have these supernatural events, but of course people are going to be killed by sicknesses, by plagues, and that's going to be part of all that's going on. Of course, these plagues, these sicknesses is from the brimstone, from the fire. It talks about these elements will destroy these men. It says by these in verse 18 was a third part of the men killed by fire and by smoke and by brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. So out of the creatures' mouths, we find these horrific elements that destroy men and women and children. So we see the release of demons, return of death, the preparation, their power, and the plagues. And finally, as you look towards the end, the reaction of defiance. When you're going through, judgment, when you're going through trouble, when you're going through difficulty, when you're going through pain, a lot of time, and you know these things, if you folks, many of you in this room have been Christians for a long time, God uses pain in our lives to bring us back to Him. Some of you have been parents and you had to show tough love towards your kids. You've actually had to spank them. God forbid you may scar them for life if you do that. Psychologically damage them so they will not be able to hold a job. They won't be able to work, won't be able to eat. Won't be able to stay married. I think the Bible talks about spanking a little bit. Might want to read Proverbs if you ever get any questions about that, folks. No matter what society says, stick with the Bible. Stick with the Bible. Because no matter what the Dr. Spock says or said, the Bible's still true. Defiance, the act of defiance. In the midst of all this, you think, man, they're going through so much trouble. They're going through so much pain. Certainly they'll turn to God. Certainly they'll turn to God. But the Bible says in verse 20, some of the most difficult verses in the entire Bible. And the rest of the men which were not killed by the plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and the wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repent of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor their thefts. Instead of turning to God, when you're having demonic hordes, horse army, locust army, plagues, the moon, the sun is black, and the moon is turned to blood. You're having things that have never happened in the history of the world, nor will ever happen again. You think people would say, God, save me. But they don't. And dear friend, that is a sign of the hardness of heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Dear friend, don't ever say you have a good heart. No, you have. We all have a wicked heart. You don't know your own heart. You can't know your own heart. Only God knows your heart. You may know to some degree, but only God truly knows the heart. Because our heart is deceitful. It's deceptive. We fool ourselves. The easiest person to fool is you. We fool ourselves. We fool ourselves. And these people going through all this, they are just proud and defiant. And you know what defiant? What happens when people who are defiant? It's just horror. It's just horror. What's the reaction to the defiance, the sins, the tribulation? Occultism. Well, we have that now, but it's going to increase. Devil worship, demon worship. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34. For God, them that have familiar spirits and seek after wizards to be defiled by them, for I am your God. God hates Satan worship. What do you have an increase of today? Just turn on TV very long. just turn on TV. You see it's everywhere. it's everywhere you go, you can just about see this. We went down to Dave and Buster's today with my son. It's there. It's in the video games. It's everywhere. TV, commercials, books, it's prevalent. It's going to become even more prevalent. I mean, they're talking about trying to have Satan occultism in public schools. They're wanting equal rights with folks who pray at the poll. They want their rights. And they're, hey, just like the homosexual crowd, just like the rest of the liberal crowd, they're going to get bolder and bolder and bolder as the days get darker and darker and darker. Idolatry, of course. Mankind will cling to their idols. Of course, the great idol will be Antichrist during this time. And worship demon world, natural world. Unbelievable as it may seem, men and women will remain committed to Mother Earth. Good old Mother Earth. Well, what has Mother Earth ever done for you? There's no such thing as Mother Earth. It's all fake. It's all foolishness. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And of course, murder, when the gospel's influence is unknown or weak, life is cheap. Violent murders will be common in the tribulation. It will be the survival of the fittest and the meanest. Thou shalt not kill. Resurrect the reaction of defiance, the sins of tribulation. We see sorcery. The Old Testament, this was associated with witchcraft. The last five occurrences of the Old Testament deal with drug addiction. The word here is pharmakeia, from which, of course, we can get the word pharmacies, the enhancement in our enchantment with drugs, enhancement of drugs to get higher or be on drugs. It's, of course, that's happening right now, isn't it? And it's going to happen even worse during this time. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, immorality, unrepented immorality, which is the Greek word porneia, which we get the word pornography from. It's the general term for sexual relations outside of marriage. Of course, the Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 15, 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, thefts. Lawlessness will abound. Men and women will try to survive. The world is not getting better. It's getting worse. As bad as things are, men will still refuse to repent. They're saving up wrath for themselves. Of course, we know the Bible tells us, even way back in the book of Exodus, thou shalt not steal. So these people can continue to commit these sins, revel in these sins, thinking that they will have no judgment, that it is a potion for their pain. It is their elixir, their fix, that this is the only thing that will help them. And dear friends, really outside of God, this is where everybody goes, right? If this life is all there is, why not? But dear friends, we know that's not true. We know that this life is not all there is. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verse 5, but after the hardness and impotent heart, treasure up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Judgment's simply coming. Judgment is coming. But in the midst of judgment, in the midst of all this, there's hope. It's hope. There's hope for the repentant heart. And that's what we pray for. Yes, there's going to be defiance, but there's defiance today, isn't there? You meet people today who's defiant against the gospel. They don't want to hear the truth. You're related to people like that, aren't you? In these holidays that are coming up, Thanksgiving, when you thank your creator and God and provider for the food, they laugh at your prayers. They laugh at the fact that you take a day to thank God for the bounty which he's provided for us, all of us. And then Christmas, of course, we celebrate the birth of Christ. The world, they love to focus on Santa Claus, the snowman, Yuletide, the giving of gifts. And there's nothing really about that. Thank God there are people who repent. I read about a man by the name of Ricky McAllister. He went to LSU, Brother Tiny. Went to LSU. Somehow, someone gave him a little green pocket New Testament. he was going fishing with his buddies down the bayou. They wanted to go fishing. It was hot. It was the summertime. They didn't catch any fish. They went back at night, drank some beer. And one of the friends said, go out there, go outside and get me some of those magazines. It was too hot. You know how it is in the summertime. Like here, it's too hot even at nighttime to go outside. Stay in the AC. He said, I don't have any magazines. Here, take this book. His friend, Ricky's friend, started reading. He picked up the Bible and started reading them. And he read this passage right here. Revelation chapter 9. About the locust, about the horsemen. And as he was reading, Ricky began to get scared. You see, God had already been working in Ricky's heart. God had already been speaking to him about getting saved and turning to Christ. And he heard those things, got scared, went back home, found his girlfriend, went to church, got saved, and became a missionary to Bolivia. To Bolivia. And preach the gospel of the people. God can use any part of his word to reach people. He can use it. If our heart is attuned to God, if we're repentant of our sin, if we see ourselves, and dear friend, that's what God wants us to see. He wants us to see ourselves. The most dangerous thing you could do, the diet Christian, is to compare yourself with somebody else in this room. I'll repeat that. The most dangerous thing you can do as a Christian is to compare yourself with someone else in this room or some other Christian you know. It's not what someone else is. It's compare yourself to this book. Compare yourself to Jesus Christ. And dear friend, if you're walking away from God, because Christians, we all struggle with sin. If you're going down a path you should not be going, repent. Repent. Like the prodigal son, come to yourself. See your need and turn away from it and establish a new relationship with God. That's God's desire. God's desire is that we be right with him. First in salvation and secondly in sanctification or spiritual growth. Ricky McAllister did from these words in the book of Revelation. And by the grace of God, may we, when we fight against ourselves, when we chase after things that cannot satisfy in this life. Because we Christians, we get caught up in this old world. We think this world is everything. We think America is utopia. But it's not. We're going to a greater place, a better place. May we fix our eyes upon that place. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for all you've done. Thank you for who you are. We pray, God, and thank you that you can save men like Ricky McAllister. Thank you for the salvation we have in Christ. Lord, I pray that, God, if we as Christians are walking in a way that's not pleasing in your sight, maybe even some of the things that we talked about tonight, that, God, you'd help us to see ourselves, not compare ourselves with other people who we may be better at in some areas and worse at in other areas. What you say in your word is foolishness. It's not wise. Help us, Lord, see your word, repent of our sins, and have a right relationship. Oh, I pray that everyone in this room truly desires a right relationship with you. We will walk with you and talk with you. As a hymn of invitation plays tonight, would you do business with God? In the quietness of the moment today, is there an area of your life that's not pleasing to God? Is there an area of your life that you know you should not be dwelling on or being a part of? Maybe God's speaking to your heart. We look at these defiant folks during the tribulation. We say, oh, how terrible. But how's our own heart tonight? Have we got cold to spiritual things? When was the last time we truly read the Bible? When was the last time we really prayed? When was the last time we really shared the gospel with anybody? Oh, dear friend, how easy it is to get cold. Cold in heart. Cold and unresponsive to the Holy Spirit of God. Let's stand to our feet tonight, head bowed, eyes closed, altars open. If you're struggling, dear friend, with sin, or maybe there's some other area in your life, or maybe there's somebody in your family struggling, you'd like to pray for them. The altar's open. Would you come? We all struggle with sin. The Bible says a just man falls, Seven falls seven times and rises up again. Whatever the need, whatever the struggle, I pray you do business with God and choose to be right with Him tonight.
All right. Welcome to